Want a recipe for success? Step one, visit OCDFamilyPodcast.com/courses. Step two, click on my link to browse OCD Training School's amazing course catalog. Step three, enroll. And step four, enjoy learning. With no added cost to you, you can support the OCD family community while grabbing some continuing education or learning how to bridge yourself to self-help strategies for OCD. Again, that's OCDFamilyPodcast.com/courses and use my special link to sign up today.
Hey fam, what's this? A break from the water cooler? Yes, indeed, because this is our 100th episode, family, and there's a lot to discuss. So join me for some reminiscing, a few games with my handsome hubs, and to show my appreciation, an amazing giveaway for the OCD family community. Intrigued? Get comfy, because it's family time.
I'm Nicole Morris, licensed marriage and family therapist and mental health correspondent. And let me be the first to say, welcome to the family, the OCD family, that is. I am here to create a community of support for family members, spouses, partners, parents, adult children, as there may be adult words, and chosen family of OCD sufferers and their community. I've had over 22 years of experience in the mental health field, but please note that this information does not qualify or substitute as a diagnostic evaluation, therapy, or treatment, and it is presented on an as-is basis. Please follow up with a qualified mental health provider in your area regarding concerns for yourself or loved ones. Thank you for joining us today. Now, let's get started.
Alrighty. So I posted a few weeks ago about this episode, numero 100, the big 100. I mean, time has really flown by, family. And honestly, as much time and attention as I dedicate to building and supporting this community, it really has gone by so quickly. And I'm amazed, I'm humbled, and I'm honored to be here with you. So I invited my handsome hubs, Patrick, to party hardy with some OCD-themed games like we do from time to time, and to look back over these past two seasons. And as you'll hear, there are some distinct themes that tend to trend pretty highly in terms of analytics. So whether we're looking at episodes, listening or watch hours, or even shares, I get all that data. And I also get tagged, DM'd, and emailed about content and questions all the time. When I can, I provide resources because that's what family does for each other. So in an amazingly generous turn of events, I was talking with some of the co-founders of OCD Training School. In fact, I received my formalized training from OCD Training School on inference-based CBT or ICBT, and they are phenomenal. So as I was chatting with them, sharing about how ICBT happens to be one of the most requested, most listened to, most watched content areas across my entire catalog of episodes, they wanted to help support and celebrate that interest by offering 5 free self-study courses on ICBT to the OCD family community, which is absolutely amazing, fam. I mean, so, so generous. And while I'll emphasize that this course is not therapy, it is a super helpful self-help formatted course that can bring game-changing insight to you or your loved one's OCD recovery. So in honor of our time together and your thirst to understand ICBT better, I'm going to be giving away 5 free self-study courses. So check out this episode's blog at OCDFamilyPodcast.com or any of the giveaway social media posts for the official rules to learn more about this. Also, I'm going to run through the deets at the end of this show, but a huge, huge thank you to the OCD Training School for their generosity in supporting our family to learn more about ICBT and celebrating with us as we ring in 100 episodes. And with that, let's bring in my handsome hubs. Because nothing says let's celebrate like playing some games at OCD's expense. Welcome back to my handsome hubs.
Hello, everybody. And wow. I cannot believe we have hit the 100.
The 100. That's right. It is the 100th episode.
That's insane.
OCD Family Podcast. So we're taking a little breaky break from the water cooler chats to commemorate this moment.
Truly crazy. I can't believe you've done that many episodes since you started. It feels like you just started it.
Yeah, although I'm almost to our second birthday, our second anniversary of the podcast going live.
Cool.
But yeah, I have aimed to be consistent. So I have put out many episodes and I work on them weekly. And
that's right.
And it's been a joy overall to be able to provide this resource to the community. And so I invited Patrick to come back because it's been a hot minute, Patrick.
Yeah, it has. But I'm glad to be back. I'm sipping my little cocktail that I made.
What'd you make?
I made the absinthe frap, I think they call it.
Okay. So Patrick ran to the store before this. We're like going to record. And I think he's getting an ingredient, which I'm sure he will argue this was an ingredient for the drink. But really, I see like a charge come through from Home Goods. And I'm like, did you buy special glasses?
I did.
There was a glass emergency because God forbid you would have to drink that cocktail out of the wrong glass.
Indeed.
Yeah. So, but as we've talked about on prior episodes, Patrick has become quite the mixologist. So, you know, those little details, they matter.
They do. They really do. It makes a big difference.
Yeah.
Use good ingredients and good tools.
Okay. He also has a reusable metal straw. So
that's right.
Very, very conscious and lots of fresh mint from the garden. That is a bushel of mint, if I may.
I know. If anybody's ever tried to grow mint, they know that it's like a weed. You don't have to do anything to it and you'll have a lot of mint. So you put it in a container so that it doesn't take over your whole garden. But
yeah, thank you for that gardening tip. So Patrick made himself an absinthe frap and he made me a margarita.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to talk a little bit and play a little bit of games. But I will say last time you were on, I think we talked about relationship OCD.
Probably.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing that because it's the 100th episode, we're going to be kind of all over the map on this one, right?
Great question.
Yeah.
I was thinking we could talk a little bit about, I was looking up some of the stats on the top episodes that have been trending as of late. So I thought we'd talk about that. We'd play some games and just kind of reminisce about how this community has grown over the last 2 years. Yeah.
Cool.
Awesome.
Let's do it. Let's play a game.
Okay. So I know one that we've played quite a bit. I think almost every episode, it's been a repeat performer, is Would You Rather, right? But a little bit of a slight twist on Would You Rather. This time, we're going to play This or That. And we're keep it kind of focused more on the action. So Would You Rather wasn't specifically on the actions or compulsions, etc. But this time, we're going to do This or That based on coping skills or lack thereof when it comes to the management of OCD. And so I turned to my friend ChatGPT, par exemple.
Of course you did.
Yeah. So here are some examples, but I also thought we could create some of our own if we wanted.
Nope.
So for par exemple, would you rather ignore responsibilities or overcommit to avoid thinking?
Avoid responsibilities.
Ignore responsibilities or...
Okay.
Overcommit to avoid thinking.
Overcommit to avoid thinking?
Yes. Keeping yourself so busy that you don't have time to dwell. In fact, you were just telling me the other day an example of this, like how you can get caught up in different things that you don't give yourself time and space to think about something directly.
But what does overcommitting have to do with that?
He takes issue with the word overcommit.
I don't understand that.
Okay.
It's not issue. Meaning I just don't understand.
Meaning like you are seeking out so much to be able to avoid thinking, like to distract yourself, etc.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So doing a lot of things to distract yourself.
Some might call it that. Some might call it committing.
See, like overcommitting sounds like some kind of like highly intentional like plan of attack or something. But if you're just saying I'm doing a lot.
Well, I think overcommitting can be intentional or unintentional.
Okay.
It can be absent-minded.
So what would I rather do? This game is off to a great start.
This or that. If you had to choose this or that, ignore your responsibilities or overcommit to avoid thinking about all the things.
Probably the second one, given the explanation you gave.
Oh, I like it. Okay.
I probably both.
Great.
At times,
here's
depending on the thing and depending on the day. All right. Okay. So I have some for you here. All right. This or that? Sleeping all day or staying up all night?
Sleep all day, every day.
Air day.
That's true. That's true. Look, we're old people now. We want to sleep all day.
When you sleep too much, people, sometimes you're like, oh, I slept too much. I have a headache. When you haven't slept at all, everything sucks.
Everything sucks. Yeah.
It might be fun for like the second or third wind you have through the night.
When you're 25 years old, you can stay up all night.
Right.
No big deal.
When you're single or not a parent, don't get up with kids in the morning.
In other words, if emotional vampires haven't sucked you dry already.
Oh.
Go biters. Crunchers.
Well,
I've got lots of turds.
If that isn't just a Hallmark card, mister. I mean, I'm telling you. Woo. Okay.
I love them.
Yeah. You're like, by the way, in case. Exactly. In case they ever listen to this, daddy loves you so much.
Yeah. Throw a little doily on there.
They're the best. Love them.
Yeah.
Little emotional vampires. Okay. All right. We'll pick one more each from ChatGPT, and then maybe we create one of our own. I'll sit in the ring, and we'll move on, okay?
Okay, go.
How about, would you rather, oh, no. Stop, Nicole. Okay, yeah. This.
Or that.
This or that, clearly. If you had to choose this or that, which choice would you make? It's hard to post it, even. People laughing at me. I'm like, how do I say it without saying, would you rather?
It's the same game.
Stop. Keep the veiled truth.
All right.
How about this? Making impulse decisions or avoiding making any decisions. This or that.
Oh, 100% the first one.
Making impulse decisions.
Which one would I rather do? That one. Impulse decisions have short-term gains, my friend.
Short-term relief, would you call that? Short-term temporary relief?
Short-term happiness, short-term everything.
Happiness, I mean, that's one way of posing
it. That's like the definition of short-term fun, is impulse decisions.
I mean, it's not always fun, because if you think about the impulse to compulse, that isn't fun.
Sure. But that aside, yes, I would rather...
You're like, but that buzzkill is not what... Sure. Okay. You get to pick one more this or that. Not a would you rather, clearly.
All right, yeah.
But a this or that.
Would you rather?
No, it's not that game. It's really not. Believe it. It's this or that, clearly.
Which reality do you prefer? Avoiding people altogether or being overly clingy?
Ooh. I don't like either of those.
No.
Okay, if I had to pick avoiding people altogether or being overly clingy, me no likey.
I knew that one would be a challenge.
Mean. All right, let's see. I kind of want to say both and neither all at the same time.
You have to pick one.
Like, I don't want to be without people.
It's called this or that.
But is it my job?
Or
if other people find me to be clingy, to fully have that insight on my own, or also partially their responsibility to communicate that versus being alone in a vacuum?
There's too much thinking going. This.
Hi, have
or
we met?
That.
Have we met? It happens to be superpower, but I don't like it. I guess I'm going to be overly clingy because we're better together, family, right?
There you go.
So. If I'm not alone, I can't be alone.
That's right.
That I made the right choice there.
I mean, I know how much you don't like the idea of being alone, but I knew you wouldn't like either one of those.
I hated them the most. Yes.
Yes.
The mostest.
Yeah. Okay. Do we want to make one up of our own,
sure.
Or we want to skip to the loo, my darling?
Let's make up one.
All right. Remember, it's based on actions, mental or physical, but actions. And it's a this or that.
Ooh.
Okay, you go since you feel proud.
All right, ready?
Yeah.
All right, I got one for you. You ready? This is a fun one.
It's not a would you rather, though.
Right. Which reality do you prefer?
Sleep. Which reality?
You get your own way most of the time, but people are chronically frustrated with you, or you rarely get your own way.
I get my own way.
Such an easy choice.
Other people's frustrations are their job. I don't do free labor. That's kind of a token thing. Yeah.
Right. Now, bonus points. Which one do you think I would pick?
The first one, too.
Get my own way, but most people be chronically frustrated with me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Because they probably won't communicate but, it, and you'll live in the bliss of that.
But I would struggle more than you.
You grasp your anchors and quickly. You're like,
oh, get my own
word. You're like, you're but,
of course.
But honorable mention asterisk, I care. I care about other people versus you, who obviously doesn't. Oh my okay. gosh.
All right, your turn.
Yeah, I am less of a toilet girl. Doesn't mean I don't care. Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. If we've ever explained the doily thing, maybe we
have.
Have we?
Yeah, we
all have. Right, fine. If you're new, suck it. Because Radrick doesn't care about your chronic frustration. Just kidding. I'm kidding.
Alrighty.
Okay, here's mine. This or that reality. Never ask for reassurance or never receive affirming feedback.
Oh, the first one.
You would rather never ask for reassurance?
Then not ever receive affirming feedback? 1,000%. I've got to receive some affirming feedback.
You met?
Yes.
I have.
But you have.
You also mapped this for reassurance. Are
well,
you kidding me?
But the reassurance thing, I could live with it.
You're like, at least I have the assurance. I have the initial assurance.
Right. I don't
I
need
can
the,
give
I don't
the need reassurance.
I don't need the re.
We don't need the re. Subtract the re. Give me the assurance. All right, yeah. Fair enough.
1,000%
okay
for me.
All right. Okay. All righty then.
All right.
So next, I thought we'd just do a little bit of recap on some of the episodes that have been trending over time. And so what I will say is, after starting the water cooler chats last year, I decided to go back and upload the catalog from season one. Prior to the water cooler chats, and then start, you know, as I was publishing each episode, making sure that I put that up to YouTube as well. Probably would have been a good idea in the beginning, but let me tell you, we learn as we grow. And so on YouTube, as well as across the different distribution, so, you know, Spotify, Apple, Google, whatever you have, one of the most well-rated and most engaged, I get actually a lot of comments and feedback, emails about this, form submissions from the website over at OCDFamilyPodcast.com, is on rumination-focused ERP with Dr. Michael Greenberg, which was an episode I did toward the end of season two of the full-length episodes. And Patrick has listened to most. At this point, he's a little...
I'm a little behind.
It's 100 episodes. We'll give him that.
Yeah.
But
it's a lot.
Yes, it is a lot. But he's like, bring back the re. I want some reassurance on that. Yes. So Dr. Michael Greenberg, though, you've heard that one.
Yes.
And we talked about rumination focus ERP. And it's really flown up on views, watch time. But it's also been, it's and is currently, other than the water cooler chats that are coming hot off the press, the top episode. And so anything that sticks out for you in that rumination ERP episode?
Well, a couple of things. One is I remember it's been a while, but I do remember that guest talking something about like Amazon as an example. And I that stuck with me because I have an ads background, like online digital advertising. But basically,
I brought up ads and he was like, yes.
Okay.
Although with plus, big asterisk plus, the psychodynamic piece. But he, from a behavioral standpoint.
Right.
This speaks to what you have a lot of experience with.
Yeah. But the idea being that like you might get served ads because you were engaging with something, and you know, maybe you're engaging with a certain particular thing on Amazon, and then it makes an association. Oh, you must like this a lot, and so it shows you a lot of ads, and so it's kind of this cycle that feeds into itself. I remember it being something like that. Am I close?
Yeah, absolutely. And part of his treatment protocol that he has developed has included the active engagement with rumination or with any said compulsion.
Mm-hmm.
Like you were saying with the ads, is actually what's bringing this to the forefront, even if you don't want to see it when you go into your Amazon or whatever,
mm-hmm.
right? Like
mm-hmm.
You might think, why is this everywhere? I can't escape it. What does that mean? But also, it means you were interacting and the algorithm has picked that up.
Yeah.
And so mm-hmm. there were pieces of that. He also has a very large psychodynamic piece, which is very different than traditional ERP.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is from season 2, episode 90. if people want to check that out.
I remember specifically, actually, tell me if I'm wrong, but this particular guest had a really interesting viewpoint on ERP, because I think he mentioned something about the idea that we don't want to get too boxed in with one modality of treatment. Yes?
Yeah.
Am I onto it?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. This is coming back to me now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that it wasn't that ERP was bad in his point of view, but it wasn't, but it's also not like the only thing that we should be focused on either. There's other ways to treat people, right?
If
there's other things that are just as potentially
helpful.
Effective.
And effective. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, part of how he came up with RFERP, as he talks about on the episode, is he had someone that was really, really good in facilitating ERP. He has lived experience of OCD, but it did not solve the rumination. And he was like, this isn't enough. And went to an OCD conference, which we have the OCD conference coming up in just a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Be down there.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, oh, even you guys don't know how to solve this. And so I really loved that piece for him. He called it a little bit of his like omnipotency fantasy that he could solve all the problems. But I also love that even if the experts don't know, that doesn't mean there's no hope for you. That means
let's
keep working.
Yeah.
And so I think there's a balance between those two things. And that was a really interesting episode. Also, backstory from that, I recorded that with Michael, who was super gracious, super busy, and recorded with him on a weekend. I asked Patrick to take the kids somewhere. And we talked for so long. So I have to give Patrick credit. Because Michael and I talked as long on air as we talked off air, and that was a long episode because we got in a very interesting and compelling conversation about ICBT, some of the similarities that I found between his approach and ICBT. There are certainly unique differences as well. He was so gracious with his time. Like, he could have been like, I am out of time, sister, and I'm done. And instead, he went on to record the entire episode with me. So, Michael, you're the man, and I appreciated all of your time. So he
was a good guest. I really liked his point of view overall.
Yeah. And
as a layperson who doesn't study this stuff, I appreciated his point of view. So
yeah.
Go listen, people, if you haven't.
Yeah.
What are you waiting for?
I mean, they are. That's like one of the best rated episodes right now. But
listen again.
Okay. Another one just below that, which was the top rated episode from season one and is still pretty high up, is Dr. Anthony Pinto. It's our first episode. We've actually done two episodes now on OCPD. And that very first initial episode continues to be, and I will say the second episode still rates fairly highly, but that first episode of him really laying out a better understanding and the hope and the strengths of folks that battle with OCPD continues to be a really well-rated episode. And so
that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dr. Pinto. And Dr. Pinto has introduced me to a number of people, and I've also had people that used to work for Anthony reach out to me, and we've made connections. I've had them as guests on the show. And so that has been really a fun relationship that I look forward to growing as we bring more awareness to OCPD warriors out there. So
that's excellent.
Yeah. So of the top, I would say, five or six episodes, there is one guest that shows up twice, two different content areas, but shows up twice. Mike Hetty.
Ah, yeah.
Mike Hetty.
Of course.
Yes. Mike has been super helpful in helping listeners and the fam here grasp a better understanding for ICBT, that's inference-based cognitive behavioral therapy. And we did this very thorough conversation around GAD and OCDs, that's generalized anxiety disorder or GAD, and OCD. So that's another one.
Nice.
So he was the first person that really taught and explained to me on a deeper level what ICBT was.
I remember the big turnaround with you because going into it, you told me, you were like, I do not understand how this works, but I'm willing to listen and everything. And then as you got more educated about it, it made more and more sense.
Made a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And before talking to Mike, let me clarify, I was like, ICBT just sounds like we're glorifying rumination. And I did a water cooler chat this summer, just a couple weeks ago. And you can find that over at youtube.com, or you can find it wherever you enjoy your podcasts. But I did an episode about, is ICBT just glorified rumination? And it continues to be the top listened to episode. So I think it is of interest to people. I think people that are trained in traditional ERP have a lot of fear and concern over what ICBT means. And it's so radically different that it really takes an investment of time to understand what ICBT truly is to be able to differentiate that. But yeah, that's another one. And then last but not least, one of the top episodes that continues to rank high from the very beginning of season two, Forging the ICBT Path Within the Treatment Landscape for OCD with Dr. Frederick Ardema. One of the co-founders of ICBT actually came on the podcast, which was a huge honor and a big deal.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that was a good episode. For
very,
sure.
Very big deal. And so that continues to be really well regarded. It also rates well over on YouTube and absolutely was fascinating to talk to a developer. I think for myself, I will just say, like, when you're talking to someone that's so zoomed into the research, you think like, and I don't mean this in a condescending way, but you think like, I'm going to have to kind of work through a lot of hubris. How does this work? What does that look like practically for clients, for people with lived experience? And I thought he actually had a very compassionate understanding despite being really, really zoomed in on the research portion. And so we appreciated that about getting to know him. And we played some games.
Yeah, I remember that. So that was funny.
Yeah, it was fun. He was a very good sport. So appreciate that, Fred. With that... With another the game. Mention of games, yes, another game. You really enjoyed the storytelling game. We played this once before. You enjoyed it and actually asked for an encore. Encore, thank you.
Yes.
I was looking for that. And so this is how the game works. It was built upon the premise of something we work on in Module 3 of ICBT Therapy, which is where we create different stories. And so... The premise of this, underlying it for a little bit of an educational moment, is that as OCD lived experience folks can easily come up with the OCD story, which is the imagined possibility of all the things that can go wrong. And it would be the worst if it did. And this is often the story that runs whether we want it to or not. So we don't even have to conjure a worst case scenario because it's like the script that's running in our head, right? And what we do is we practice creating counter stories or alternative stories to that, where we are literally constructing a similar story, but we're bridging it with details and facts from our sense data, from our here and now reality. And so that ultimately is a skill. But in getting people to practice that, we even start with some more kind of neutral grounds. We might pick objects in the office or in our homes and say, we're going to practice telling different types of stories about this same thing. And we see how the context of the story creates different moods, if you will. So Patrick and I have both written down nouns of different sorts, housed here in my daughter's princess teacup. Mm-hmm. We will pick out the content subject of our story. Okay. And then I have some adjectives, some that are more of the delightful variety and some that are more harrowing.
Okay.
And we're going to practice telling these different kinds of stories. So since you wanted to encore this, I'll let you pick first.
All right.
Okay. What you got?
Lime wedge.
Ooh, he's going to tell a story about a lime.
Woo-hoo!
And you get to pick one adjective.
Heartwarming.
Oh.
All right.
Let's hear it. Bring on your heartwarming lime wedge story.
Once upon a time, in a beautiful glistening castle, there was a huge kitchen with diamond walls and diamond cutlery and beautiful marble countertops. And on it was the most beautiful bowl you ever saw, full of limes. And this lime wanted nothing more than to be part of the drink for the queen.
It's already a very
and
privileged
every
lime.
Single time the royal cook came in to make the drink for the queen, it picked the other limes, and this lime started to cry.
This is
it
a
was so sad.
Story.
But then, one day, the cook realized the best lime was saved for last. She took out the big knife and sliced it open slowly, and the lime never felt more heartwarmed.
The lime had feelings.
The
even
lime
after
was
being cut.
So happy to be used for its one purpose in life.
You're like, this lime was cut.
Yes.
And it's like, this is the best.
It's the best. This
as
is
I,
all the lime
as
wanted.
As I bleed out the acidity of my nectar, my juice, in this,
is all the lime ever
privileged kitchen. It's made of diamonds.
Yes, this is all the lime ever wanted.
Did they use the diamonds to cut open the lime?
Yes, it was a diamond knife.
Ridiculous.
It's sharper than steel.
How heartwarming.
Well, see, it didn't hurt very much because it was so sharp.
It was so precise. Yes, that's right. That's right. Move over, scalpel.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so now I get to tell a heartwarming story about a lime wench.
All right.
Yeah, I'm going to tell a story. Once there was a kid, and this poor kid did not have a lot of food to eat and was so hungry. And so a girl was walking along. Because kids are amazing and they're like, I just see somebody and I want to help them.
Mm-hmm.
And so the kid walked up and was like, how can I help? And the kid was like, I'm so hungry. And so the girl ran in and there was a taco place right there and was like, hey, this kid's really hungry. Can you please help? And so, and they were like, yes, yes, you know, we care about starving children. And so she was like, I love that. And so they gave her taco. Just one.
I don't get that much.
But they can't know to give a taco. And she was like, and she grabbed a lime wedge because she happened to know their superior with little wedge of lime. And brought it out to this kid because she was like, you're hungry and we're better together.
So the lime wedge was like a cherry on top.
It was the, it brought it together.
I see. Just your story is better than mine.
Just like, thank you. Okay, now you get to pick the second adjective.
Okay.
And we get to tell another story about this.
All right.
Lime wedge that is what in nature, Mr. Patrick?
Anxiety provoking.
Anxiety provoking lime wedge. That is a situation. Go for it.
One time in the year 1650.
Oh, no.
This mother was walking along with her poor child.
I'm glad it was notated.
And the child fell upon this cobblestone street, because back then they didn't have roads. And he fell upon it and scratched his knee open, and it was bleeding, and he was crying. And then the mother said, ah, I will sanitize your knee with this lime wedge.
Glad that she was so mindful that she needed to clean out the wound. This was a smart mom.
For her time.
For her time. She was freaking smart.
I know.
She's like, I don't know why, but we need some pure acid to pour into.
Though she grabbed the lime wedge and the kid's anxiety was provoked. He did not want that rubbed in wound.
Have you ever had like even a little bit of lime just go in a paper cut? Could you imagine
terrible.
In a gash on the knee in the 1600s? That shit'll kill you.
I know.
Which mom somehow.
Yes.
She was ahead of her time.
Yeah.
Was her name Claire?
Yeah. I was just about to say that actually. Her name was Claire. If you don't know, you don't know.
No, but if you don't know,
if you do know, you know.
But if you don't know and you want to know, Outlander.
Right.
At least think she went to the 1700s, but whatever.
Whatever.
Details.
Details.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anxiety provoking. So once in LA, I was driving to work on the freeways, and you know, people as they're driving like to be on the phone, even
so
though
your anxiety is provoked
that's,
already.
Sure, baseline. But that was in LA. It was just a way of life. Anxiety.
Yes. Where does the lime?
It's coming.
Okay, sorry.
Well, wait a minute, Mr. Cobblestone. I don't believe you got your lime wet
I'm
yet.
Just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
I'll remember. Thank you.
All right.
Okay. So I was in traffic on the 405. The person next to me was curling their hair with a hot iron in the cigarette dash. They do, actually.
What?
Seen that.
They what?
Separate story. But I was, you know, cooking a taco. Have you seen that TikTok where the person
cooking
a taco? I'm on tacos right now because the taco kind of sounds good.
Language.
I was cooking a taco and I went to put on, as we previously discussed, the wedge is the way to go with the taco. And as I squeezed it, the lime juice squirted into my eye.
Oh.
I'm dropping.
Oh, no.
On the 405.
If a vault is
congested, right? The area where you can't cross over the white line. It's solid white line.
Right. And the traffic was actually moving. So you had a chance to get killed.
I could have been murdered. Anywho, because it would obviously not be my fault. I was cooking a taco while driving. Mm-hmm. But it was very anxiety provoking because traffic was moving and I had lime juice in my eye from that lime wedge, that stubborn little lime wedge. Mm. And to add insult to injury, barely any lime juice got on my taco and I had to eat it without.
Yeah, that's salt in the wound.
It is. Literally salt in the wound. Okay, salt would go well with the lime though. All right, next. Where's our teacup? Oh, here it is. I get to pick.
Okay.
Okay, we'll see.
Keep Heidi.
We'll see if I get one of yours this time.
You should.
$20 bills. I did get one of yours.
All right.
Okay. We're going to tell a story about $20 bills specifically. Okay. Oops. I drew from the angsty pile first. That's fine. $20 bills. This is going to be a fearful story.
Okay. About $20 bills.
Fearful. Yeah. So another time in L.A.
It's L.A., man.
I tell you, all the things happened there. I was walking down the alley in...
Like you do in L.A.
In heels. And one of them broke. Shit. I'm like already the subject of a Lifetime movie.
Uh-huh.
And this guy jumps out and is like, yo, put your hands up and give me your wallet or your purse or whatever things you have. You know, whatever. In L.A. And I was like, oh, gosh. But you know what? All I had was a $20 bill. And I was like, please, all I have is a $20 bill. And he was like, you ready to die for that $20 bill?
Whoa.
Fearful, right?
Yeah.
It was a shocker. Okay. You need to tell a fearful story about a $20 bill.
Okay. Let's see. This is based on a real nightmare I had once.
Cute.
So I'll just adjust it. I'll just adjust it slightly. So I'm walking around in a foggy...
Like that you had nightmares about a $20 bill?
Well, wait till you hear it. I was walking around in like a foggy white room of some sort, like dreams are, you know. And there was this mirror on the wall. And I walked over...
Did it tell you who was the fairest of them all?
And I walked over to it, and it was me in the mirror. And then,
you were the man in the mirror?
And then all of a sudden, I heard a voice in my head talking to me while I was looking at myself say, I bet you $20, I bet you $20, I bet you $20 that I am him. And I was like, what does that mean? And then all of a sudden the image was like this weird, like demonic image or something. And I woke up scared. That was a real, real dream I had. So.
Question.
Hey, it's just a dream.
That's fine. Were you an adolescent or an adult?
In between. I was like a young adult. I was a young adult. Like college years, I was a young adult when I had that dream.
All I can say is there are people listening that are like, that happened last night.
You know what's
people
funny?
People are like, what if I'm the devil? What if I'm this? What if I'm that?
I have a friend who can vouch that I had that dream way back in college.
Nope.
Yep.
Nope. I believe
I remember.
Oh, I believe my anxious little love here was like, find $20 bills. Sounds pretty spoolish if you ask me.
Maybe. Could be. I don't know. Scribble. It was just a dream. I don't know. I was probably anxious in life and
feed the scruples.
All right, moving on.
It's a bag. Okay. Last $20 bill story we get to do. I'm going to pick a delightful story.
Okay.
Delightful. I get to go first.
Okay.
Sir, good sir, I have a delightful story for you, actually. Ready for this? Have you ever watched on, I know you have because our kids have, but for the listeners out there, have you ever watched a YouTube video where it's like a surprise egg or a like unboxing video and you get to
see. I've never seen it.
what's inside.
Never seen it.
And sometimes it's a little, like, cheap piece of shit, and it's like, wow, look at this little piece of
like
shit.
Like a mash-em?
Like a mash-em. Or
some, I've never seen it.
Right. Well, guess what? Once I had a choice of 3 eggs, and I got to keep what was ever in the egg I picked. And I picked an egg, and I opened it, and it was a $20 pen. And I was like, that's right.
You're like, dreadful.
Exactly. Like, get out of my head, Morris. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Delightful. It was a delightful egg surprise.
There you go.
Okay. How about you? A delightful story, sir.
One time, I went to a bakery.
I did already.
And then the waitress came over and put a plate with a dollar bill or a $20 bill on it in front of me.
Oh, I liked the $100 better.
The $20 bill. And I said, what's this? Is this your tip money from the last customer? And she said, no, I made it for you. And I said, but it's
she made and a I said, $20
I said,
bill?
That's exactly what I said, word for word. And she said, did I? And then I took my fork and I cut into it and it was cake. And I looked into the camera and I said, this is so delightful. Is it cake?
Cake. Oh my gosh. Because, you know, people like this video. Oh, that is delightful.
It was delightful.
Well, it was a delightful
it
cake.
It was a
moist.
Doily, frilly little bakery.
Red. All right, last but not least, so we have one more game. Mm-hmm. So Patrick and I, as many I'm sure do, we like to binge watch through shows and go through different seasons of things and have to wait until the next season's out of other favorite shows. And so one of our filler shows, hold on, it deserves better praise than just a filler show. But one of the shows we do enjoy watching is Taylor Tomlinson on After Midnight, which is on Paramount Plus. This is not affiliated with Paramount Plus or CBS in any way. But we like to watch Taylor. I already love Taylor. I love that Taylor, first of all, is a comedian that talks about mental health.
Uh-huh.
And I really feel like helps break down the stigma. But then, and she has a couple Netflix specials. She's hilarious. And she ended up being named the first female host of Late Night, hello, here in the States. And so we have been fans, and it's actually a very funny show. But one of the common games they will play on After Midnight is called Hashtag Wars, where they will link together two different kind of concepts, and you need to come up with the hashtag that would kind of fit. And so, par exemple, hashtag depression desserts. Like, we could combine desserts with mental health themes. So it'd be like sorrow sorbet or mood swing sundae.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Another example would be like therapist TV shows like Breaking Bad Habits.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
I know. Or Friends with Benefits of Therapy. Really whooped that one in. And so we're going to, in honor of our joy and appreciation for Taylor's show and for the OCD fam here, we're going to combine her trend-setting game with OCD. And so our hashtag is going to be OCD movies. And we're going to see if we can each come up with 5 OCD hashtag for movies. An example could be Die Hard, but don't really. Or like hashtag the dark nephew instead of dark knight. And so Patrick and I, we're gonna come up with our hashtags and we'll popcorn them back and forth. So we'll take a moment.
Thank you.
I have my 5.
I'm almost there.
It can be OCD symptoms, treatment, anything related to OCD theories, whatever.
Okay, I got it. Here we go.
Okay, so we have hashtag OCD movies. This can be anything relative to OCD symptoms, treatment, recovery, treatment models, all of the above. So we'll take turns sharing ones we came up with. Why don't you start us off, mister?
All right. Hoarders, the movie. You know, like the TV show. Made into a movie.
I think it was supposed to be movie turned into OCD something. Not gonna yucky yum. You go, man.
Go.
Back to the Future. Maybe. Just let me make sure.
Nice. Counting 12 Monkeys.
I like my fancy job monkeys.
But yeah, I haven't seen it in a long time. My next one. The good, the bad, and the me. The answer is me. I'm afraid it's me.
Outbreak. Again?
I get the outbreak and 12 monkeys. We got a lot of contagions going on. Uh-huh. Were you looking at contagion?
No.
Because there's more to OCD than contamination.
I like it.
Okay, how about this? The usual suspicions. Instead of the usual suspect.
Yeah. Nice.
Uh-huh.
Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doomsday Thinking.
Oh. That was a good one.
Yeah.
I like that one. This one I'm pretty proud of. This one is called Psycho, a Memoir.
All right. This one might be my best one. It's the last one. Pulp Obsessive Fiction.
My last one is Up or Else.
Nice.
Very nice.
Nice.
Good job. Hashtag Wars. We may even celebrate by completing a recording here with a little viewing of some After Midnight.
I just want to say I'm super proud of you and the work you're doing, and I'm truly impressed. I really am with how far you've been able to take all of this, and here's to the next 100.
Ooh, thank you. Bye-bye.
I love you.
Yes, there's been a learning curve. There's been a lot of ideas. There's been a lot of awesome connections that I've made with you, fam. And so this 100, though it's a celebration for me, it's really a celebration for us. Like, we've really been able to connect over these last couple years. And I am just looking forward to more of these family gatherings, more games, more insights, more amazing guests, more water cooler chats, and it's been a fun ride, family, and I just appreciate all of you. Like, it would just be me sitting here talking to myself or occasionally my handsome hubs if it weren't for you, if it weren't for all the amazing guests. So here's to us, family. Thank you so much. And if you like the show, if you love and appreciate a review, a subscription, comment, your engagement, much like with rumination, your engagement with the show helps it pop up on all the algorithms and all the things. So just appreciate everyone for making this community really what it is, a community. And so a big thank you. And yes, here's to another.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Here's to another 100.
Here's to another 100.
Thank you for that. All right, fam. All righty. So here we are in my intrusive thoughts segment, which is my application segment of the show. And as promised, I'm here to deliver with a few more details about this week's giveaway. So OCD Training School has a self-study course available at OCDTrainingSchool.com, and they are giving away 5 courses to celebrate the OCD family community hitting 100 episodes. This prize is valued at $150, and I've got 5 of these babies to share. So I'll quickly review that the official rules are available on this episode's blog at OCDFamilyPodcast.com and any of the official social media posts. But this is how it's going to go down. All you have to do is share the official giveaway post, whether it's a post or a tweet or a quote tweet or a story, but share. And if you can just tag OCD Family Podcast on any of those respective accounts so I can make sure I don't miss your entry, you have between the time of this publication on July 12th, 2024 and by 11:59 p.m. Eastern on July 18th, 2024. So that's a week, fam. International fam, you are also welcome to participate subject to your country's rules and only void where prohibited. All family that wants to throw their hat in the ring, you have to be 18 years or older, and there is only one entry permitted per each respective social media account during the giveaway week. And then next week during our bump in at the water cooler, I will be using a third party provider to select our winners at random. So all you have to do is share that official post, tweet it, put it in a story, make sure I'm tagged so I can make sure to log your entry, and voila, winners will be announced at the water cooler. In addition, I will contact winners through the social media platform where they submitted so I can go ahead and email you your voucher. Easy peasy lemon squeezy. So check it out, fam. I can't wait to see those entries grow this week, but most importantly, I'm so excited to celebrate and I really thank you for 100 episodes of laughter, tears, learning, and hope. And thanks again to our generous prize sponsor, OCD Training School, because fam, we really are better together.
Thank you for joining me and our OCD family community. If you enjoyed what you heard today, please like and subscribe to the OCD Family Podcast wherever you enjoy your podcasts. Did you find this content helpful? Please consider leaving a review. The more people that know they're not alone, the better. For more information regarding today's podcast, please visit OCDFamilyPodcast.com and remember to join the email list while you're there. It will provide you with the most up-to-date information, resources, and the demo on the family chatter. Oh yeah, nothing says family like a journey for this long, 100 episodes strong. That's right, I went there. And you can too at OCDFamilyPodcast.com.
Okay, clinicians, are you ready to transform your practice? Then mark your calendars for February 6th and 7th of 2025, because Dr. Pia Callison is presenting a two-day live virtual training on metacognitive therapy through OCD Training School. Metacognitive therapy explores the process of how we think about our thoughts, and it has shown to be helpful in treating OCD, depression, anxiety, and PTSD. Sign up today through my link at OCDFamilyPodcast.com/courses to support the podcast at no extra cost to you. So what are you waiting for? This transdiagnostic approach is ready to take your practice to the next level at OCDFamilyPodcast.com/courses.